namo bhagavate vasudevaya namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya reading from Srimad Bhagavatam canto 2 chapter 3 text number 15 Savaya Bhagavato Raja
Savaya Bhagavato Raja
Pandavyo Maharatha
Pandavyo Maharatha
Balakridanakai Kridam Krishna Kridam Yadade
Krishna Kridam Yadade
Savaya Bhagavato Raja Certainly. Bhagavata, a great devotee of the Lord. Raja, Maharaj Parikshit. Pandavya, grandson of the Pandavas. Maharatha, a great fighter. Bala, while a child. Kridanakai, with play dolls. Kridan, playing. Krishna, Lord Krishna. Kridam, activities. Yaha, who? Adade, accepted. Translation and purport by Swami Deshna Prabhupada. Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. Translation again. Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord.
Even while playing with dolls,
he he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 6.41, it is stated that even a person who has failed in the proper discharge of yoga practice is given a chance to take birth in the house of devout brahmanas or in the houses of rich men like kshatriya kings or rich merchants. But Maharaj Parikshit was more than that, because he had been a great devotee of the Lord since his previous birth, and as such he took his birth in an imperial family of the Kurus, and especially that of the Pandavas. So from the very beginning of his childhood, he had the chance to know intimately the devotional service of Lord Krishna in his own family. The Pandavas, all being devotees of the Lord, certainly venerated family deities in the royal palace for worship. Children who appear in such families, fortunately, generally imitate such worship of the deities, even in the way of childhood play. By the grace of Lord Shri Krishna, we had the chance of being born in a Vaishnava family, and in our childhood we imitated the worship of Lord Krishna by imitating our father. Our father encouraged us in all respects to observe all functions such as the Rath Yatra and Dola Yatra ceremonies, and he used to spend money liberally for distributing prasad to us children and our friends. Does anyone know what is Dola Yatra?
Yes, holy
Gorbanyam. Gorbanyam means Gorbanyam.
Yes, the
holy.
Yes.
Okay. Our spiritual master, who also took his birth in a Vaishnava family, got all inspirations from his great Vaishnava father, Thakur Bhakti Vinod. That is the way of all lucky Vaishnava families. The celebrated Mirabai was a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna as the great lifter of Govardhan Hill. The life history of many such devotees is almost the same, because there is always symmetry between the early lives of all great devotees of the Lord. According to Jiva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit must have heard about the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna at Vrindavan, for he used to imitate the pastimes with his young playmates. According to Sri Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit used to imitate the worship of the family deity by elderly members. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also confirms the viewpoint of Jiva Goswami. So accepting either of them, Maharaj Parikshit was naturally inclined to Lord Krishna from his very childhood. He might have imitated either of the above mentioned activities, and all of them established his great devotion from his early childhood. Let's read that line again. Maharaj Parikshit was naturally inclined to Lord Krishna from his very childhood. He might have imitated either of the above mentioned activities, and all of them established his great devotion from his very childhood. A symptom of a Mahabhagavat. Such Mahabhagavats are called Nitya Siddhas, or souls liberated from birth. But there are also others who may not be liberated from birth, but who develop a tendency for devotional service by association, and they are called Sadhana Siddhas. There is no difference between the two in the ultimate issue, and so the conclusion is that everyone can become a Sadhana Siddha, a devotee of the Lord, simply by association with the pure devotees. The concrete example is the great spiritual master, Sri Narad Muni. In his previous life he was simply a boy of a maidservant, but through association with great devotees, he became a devotee of the Lord of his own standard, unique in the history of devotional service. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shilakaya Chakshuramrutam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sorry for the hiccups. I wasn't really expecting to give class. Okay, so so here in the previous verse, the sages of Naimasharanya are requesting Sutta Goswami to continue explaining the topics of Krishna, because they are all very eager to hear. And we heard yesterday that topics which relate to the discussion of Lord Krishna should certainly be discussed in the assembly of devotees. So here also we are doing the same thing. In the assembly of devotees, we are discussing the topics of Krishna. Because the topics of Krishna are the medicine for the conditioned soul. And the topics of Krishna is what enlivens the living entity. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, and we are meant to serve Krishna. So the only activity is devotional service to the Supreme Lord, and to discuss topics of the Lord. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, we are given that opportunity to absorb our consciousness in the topics of Krishna. So here, and these topics of Krishna are discussed in the association of devotees, as we heard in text number 11, that earlier on in this chapter, demigod worship was being described. So people who have different kinds of desires were being recommended to worship different kinds of demigods to fulfill their purposes. And then in text number 11, it's mentioned that all the different kinds of demigod worshippers can achieve the highest perfection simply by associating with the pure devotee of the Lord. So the highest perfection is to develop pure, spontaneous, loving service unto Krishna. So that we can get through the association of pure devotees. So Srimad Bhagavatam gives us that opportunity to hear from the pure devotees through the book Bhagavat, the pure devotee. And we also occasionally get so many pure devotees visiting here, and we get the opportunity to hear from them. So here we are hearing from Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who is the pure devotee. So in this verse, it's mentioned Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dogs, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport that actually anyone can become a devotee. So Krishna consciousness is open for everyone, whereas other processes of elevation, like, or yoga practice, like Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, you have to be qualified to a degree in order to perform them. Like if you want to do yoga, you have to be flexible, or you have to be a little bit grown up. Or if you want to be, you want to practice Sankhya Yoga or Jnana Yoga, you need to be very analytical, and you need to have an aptitude for studying Shastra. So, but Krishna consciousness is so nice that anyone and everyone can engage in it. And we can even see children from a very young age, they can engage in Krishna conscious activities. Like yesterday at University of Melbourne, we were doing kirtan with His Holiness Kadambakana Maharaj. He was leading kirtan, and the kirtan was very, very sweet. And he requested everyone to dance if they felt like dancing. They were most welcome to dance. So at one point the kirtan reached its peak. But in that group, there was one young child there. There was a young boy there. One of the students, she was a mother, and she had a young boy. So he was also in university. And amongst, it was very strange in a sense that all these adults there in a university, in a very passionate place, and here there's this, you know, young boy. So anyhow, he liked the kirtan, and then at one point he started dancing, and everyone was smiling. So we can see that Krishna consciousness can be performed from a right, very young age, and anyone can do it. It's open for anyone and everyone. And we have seen so many times, even on Harinam and Kirtan in the temple, children come, they clap their hands and they start chanting. So, and also, because children have the tendency to imitate. You know, young children are like monkeys. They imitate whatever their parents are doing, or whatever others are doing, they like to imitate. So imitation of something good is desirable. So from a very young age, those children who take birth in Vaishnava families are extremely fortunate, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, that they are very, very fortunate. So because from a young age they can begin to imitate Krishna conscious activities, and such activities create samskaras in our consciousness. So these lay very strong samskaras. And later these things come back to them. Even if they, for the time being, they are not engaged in Krishna conscious activities, they are engaged in material activities. But still these samskaras are very strong, and they remember this, and they sometimes come back to Krishna consciousness, or it's still there in their heart very strongly. So Krishna consciousness is so nice that from a young age anyone can do it. So as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, as says in the Bhagavad Gita, that generally if to take birth in the house of a brahmana or an aristocratic person, it's because of good karma, or it's because of devotional activities performed in the previous life. So, as Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that yogis who are unable to attain perfection, but who desist due to worldly-minded activities, due to worldly-mindedness, they take birth in the families of aristocratic people, or merchants, or they take birth, or even if they are more pious, if they've done more devotional service or yoga practice, they take birth in the family of a brahmana, or even higher, of a devotee. So right from a young age they're given that facility of Krishna consciousness. They're given that facility to become a pure devotee. So this is the benefit of engaging in devotional service. So there's no loss in engaging in devotional service. So even if we don't achieve perfection, we are guaranteed a human birth. But of course it's better we achieve perfection and get out of this miserable cycle of birth and death. Because life in the material world is miserable, as Krishna says. Dukhalyam ashashvatam. Life is temporary and it is miserable, from the planet of Brahma down to the hellish planets. All are miserable places wherein repeated birth and death takes place. But we think actually it's not so bad. Maybe Melbourne weather is not so good, but the other parts of the world where the weather is very nice. If you go up north in Australia, nice weather. Or one of the best places in this world is Hawaii. So if you live there, one might think it's not too bad. But Krishna says, all places in this world, on in this universe, are miserable places. And our real home is in the spiritual world, in the service of Krishna. So one gets that opportunity by taking birth in the family of devotees. Or in a family where the economic situation is stable. So then one can utilize one's human form for making advancement. But unfortunately, because of the illusory energy, and we are living in Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga is very strong. So unfortunately, so many living entities, they get sidetracked from making further progress. But Maharaj Parikshit is not like one of the other devotees. The Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, Maharaj Parikshit is a Nitya Siddha. So Maharaj Parikshit is not like an ordinary devotee who is engaging in devotional service, but they are not able to finish the process, so they come back again in a human form and in a family of devotees or in a rich family, and so they get another chance. But Maharaj Parikshit is a Nitya Siddha, and his playing with the dolls or with the forms of Krishna is not like the ordinary children who are playing with deities. And then Prabhupada gives his own example, and he gives his example of his Guru Maharaj and the previous acharyas. So we should not mistake the acharyas with ordinary devotees. So whoever takes birth in a devotee family is extremely fortunate, and they are not ordinary in that sense. And Prabhupada said that The children who take birth in these, in the Krishna conscious movement, they're not ordinary children. They're special jivas. But Maharaj Parikshit and, you know, Srila Prabhupada, the previous acharyas, they're in a different category. So we cannot compare them to, like, devotee children. So Maharaj Parikshit is a Nitya Siddha. So Nitya Siddha is someone who is already Krishna conscious. And they don't need to engage in the process of sadhana bhakti to come to the platform of spontaneous devotion service. They're already pure devotees. And they descend from the spiritual world for the purpose of engaging in the Lord's pastimes or engaging in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. So that's why they come to the material world. Either to engage in the Lord's pastimes, to facilitate the Lord's pastimes, or to spread Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada is also, we know, a Nitya Siddha. He came to the material world to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement, to aid Lord Chaitanya in spreading the Sankirtan movement. That's why he came down. And even Srila Prabhupada, right from a young age, we see how Prabhupada also observed the Rath Yatra festival. If we read the Leelamrita, there's a whole vivid description over there where Srila Prabhupada, his father, Gaur Mohan Dey, right from a young age, engaged Srila Prabhupada in... he gave Prabhupada the deity, right? So Prabhupada was engaging in, you know, devotion. Prabhupada used to watch his father. You know, his father was doing aarti every day, offering bhoga, serving the Vaishnavas. Then he was doing the same things. So it might look like Srila Prabhupada is imitating, but Prabhupada's position is different. So Prabhupada, out of his humility, is saying that, you know, by imitation I also became a devotee. But Prabhupada's position is he's a Nitya Siddha. And Krishna consciousness was there within him. It might look like, you know, he's an ordinary devotee. Like Prabhupada got influenced by the Gandhi movement. And then he met Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, and then, you know, he took up to Krishna consciousness again. But these are all the pastimes of pure devotees. We should not mistake them to be like ordinary devotees. So we see like, so the Nitya Siddha devotees assist the Lord in his pastimes. Like example is Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. In their previous life, they were Drona and Dhara in their previous life. So Maharaj Parikshit asked the question to Shukdev Goswami that how come Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda got the opportunity to serve the Lord in such an intimate way? What kind of pious credits did they perform that they got such an opportunity to serve the Lord? And he said that whereas Devaki and Vasudev, they were so fortunate that the Supreme Lord took birth from them, took birth from the womb of Devaki and appeared in the mind of Vasudev, then got transferred to Devaki. So how is it that Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj got the opportunity to engage in the childhood pastimes of the Supreme Lord? That Mother Yashoda was able to breastfeed Krishna. Devaki could not do that. So Krishna was transferred to Gokul. So they were asking, how is that? Parikshit Maharaj was asking, what kind of pious activities they performed in order to get that position? So we know one... In order to perform devotional service, we have to engage in pious activities or devotional service. Devotional service is pious activity in itself. So Maharaj Parikshit's question was, how can one achieve that position? That's what he was actually asking. That how can one achieve such a position as Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda? So then further on it's mentioned that actually that position is taken. So only Nitya Siddha, a sadhana siddha, cannot take the role of like Mother Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj or Krishna's, you know, direct friends. So only Nitya Siddhas take that role. Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport. So Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they are Nitya Siddhas. And in the previous life they were Drona and Dhara. who, according to the desire of Lord Brahma, and then they said, okay, you know, we want to take birth and the Supreme Lord should be our son. So they wanted to have Krishna as their son, and they got that opportunity. So the Nitya Siddhas, they travel with wherever Krishna performs his pastimes, they also descend. Either they descend before or after or at the same time. So they descend to assist the Lord in his pastimes. So we, all of us, are in the... So that position is like, you know, taken. So we have to become a sadhana siddha. So we have come to this material world because of rebelling against Krishna. So for us, there's the process of sadhana bhakti. And Prabhupada mentions here that there's no difference between the two in the ultimate issue. So the conclusion is that everyone can become a sadhana siddha, a devotee of the Lord, simply by association with the pure devotees. So by association with pure devotees, we have the opportunity to become a sadhana siddha. So by engaging in the process of devotional service, we have that opportunity. So here other examples are also given, like of Narada Muni, who is a sadhana siddha. So Prabhupada gives the example of Narada Muni, who in his previous life, he was a young boy and he was the son of a maid servant. So one time these Bhagavats, these Bhaktivedantas, they visited the house of his mother. It was Chaturmasya, it was raining. So they, in Chaturmasya, the traditionally the sadhus, they stay in one place and they engage in bhajan. So these sages came and his mother served them very nicely, and he also got the opportunity to serve them. So he was also serving them in a menial capacity. Just like when we have guests coming, we serve them, make their bed, serve them prasadam, take the remnants, do the washing, and in different ways he was rendering personal service. Then in the next life, the whole process is described. The different stages of bhakti from Shraddha to Prem are described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So how Narad Muni went through all these different stages and he became a pure devotee. And then in this next life he became Narada Muni. So that's an example of sadhana siddha. But for us, there's no loss in engaging in devotional service, because even if we don't perfect the process, we get another opportunity. So Srila Prabhupada said that on the strength of Narada Muni, I'm giving this opportunity to everyone to become Krishna conscious, even if they don't perfect the process. So there's this verse in the first canto. What's that translation? The Sanskrit. That even if someone doesn't become a devotee, even if they fall down, doesn't matter. Next line. Okay, thank you. So, there Narada Muni says that even if one takes to devotional service and falls down, still there's no loss. But, and then the person who is engaging in the process of Varnashram and they don't achieve Krishna consciousness, what use is there? What's the use of that? So one who is engaged in their Varna and Ashram, strictly following that, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, or Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but they don't come to the platform of devotional service, what's the use of that? It's all a waste of time. Shrama eva ikevalam. But one who is, even if someone engages in Krishna consciousness for a short period of time and then they fall down for whatever reason, still there's no loss. In the next life they will continue from wherever they have left off. So then Prabhupada said, on the strength of Narada Muni, I'm giving this opportunity to everyone to be Krishna conscious. Though Prabhupada knew some devotees would fall down, and Prabhupada took that risk. He even gave sannyas to young devotees to spread the movement. But he knew, even if, of course, it's better if we don't drop out, we don't drop the ticket. It's better if we continue. But even if we desist, still there's no loss. Of course, life will never be the same again. Once you become a devotee, then we cannot enjoy. Even if we stop practicing, life is not the same. So there's a saying, ignorance is bliss. But once you become a devotee, one cannot forget Krishna. So we can never enjoy like before. So it's better we serve Krishna. And even if we want to enjoy, we cannot enjoy. In back of our head, we'll remember the higher taste, and we'll remember this knowledge. So even if we try to enjoy this, this knowledge comes up. So Krishna says, I am the source of knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. So of course, it's as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this is verse in the 12th chapter, Mai eva mana adasva, mai buddhin niveshaya, nivashas yasi, mai eva, ata urdvam nasanchaya. So Krishna says, just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. So this is the platform of Krishna consciousness, which we are meant to come to, which is spontaneous devotional service. And the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they are the perfect examples of this, that their mind is 24/7 absorbed in the activities of the Supreme Lord. So 24/7 they are meditating on the Supreme Lord. So the conclusion of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the summum bonum. So the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is where Krishna engages in his activities, where Krishna is described and his devotees are described. So if we read the 10th canto, we can see life in Vrindavan. So the first 30 chapters or so describe life in Vrindavan. So there we can see that how these pure devotees, their mind is fully fixed on Krishna, and their intelligence is fully engaged in the Lord's service. And their relationship with Krishna is that they don't see Krishna as God. So one might think, you know, what's the difference between them and a conditioned soul? Because a conditioned soul can't understand Krishna as God, and neither can they. They can't also understand Krishna as God. But the difference is, one is engaged in service, whereas the other is not. So the conditioned soul is not engaged in service, and the pure devotees, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they are engaged in serving Krishna. They are 24/7 engaged in serving Krishna. But both of them have no idea that Krishna is God. So in Vrindavan, Krishna manifests his aishwarya or his opulence or opulences, and even demonstrates that he's God. But still, they cannot accept that. So the example is when Mother Yashoda, when all the cowherd boys, they accused Krishna of eating dirt. So Krishna ate dirt, and they all got together, headed by Balram. And then they accused Krishna, they lodged a complaint to Mother Yashoda and said, Krishna has eaten dirt. And then Mother Yashoda was, she was quite agitated, because she thought, you know, why is Krishna eating dirt? Am I not giving him nice milk? Maybe my milk is not good enough. He's eating dirt. So then she said, okay, open your mouth and let me see if you have eaten dirt. And then he opened his mouth, and then Krishna exhibited his opulence. And then the universal form was manifest in the mouth of the Supreme Lord. So there she saw the entire universe, everything moving, non-moving, all the planets, the sun, the demigods, everything. What Arjuna saw, she saw. And then she saw Vrindavan, and she saw herself also in the mouth, in the mouth of Krishna. She saw all this. So for a moment she was fully bewildered. She thought, am I dreaming? Then she thought, no, this cannot be a dream because I'm awake. Then she thought, is this because of the illusory energy? Is this because the illusion created by the external energy? And then she thought, no, it cannot be that also. And then she thought, is this my own intelligence? And she understood, that's not also that. Then she thought, this must be the mystic power of Krishna. And then she understood her own position. She is a servant of the Supreme Lord. She's not in possession of the cows. You know, Nanda Maharaj is not a, you know, she understood that these are not my subjects, the Gopas and the Gopis. And then she offered prayers to the Supreme Lord. But very quickly, by the influence of Yoga Maya, Krishna covered her. So her intense maternal affection again aroused. And she forgot about that incident. She totally forgot about it. It was like a dream. Like we dream at night, and then when we wake up many times, we forget our dreams. So she forgot about that. And then she carried on in her activities and she embraced Krishna. So in this way we can see how the residents of Vrindavan, they don't take Krishna as God. So another time with the example of Shakatasura. So when Shakatasura, he took the form of a cart, and it was the Uthana ceremony. Uthana ceremony is when a baby, usually the baby is lying on the back, so when the baby, you know, begins to turn over, so then they have a festival. So just before crawling, so he's just turning over. There's a, in the Vedic culture, having children was not considered a botheration or a burden. So at different stages of the growth of the child, there would be various festivals just to create all these samskaras. And it was the cause of jubilation. So even after 3 months of pregnancy, there would be a festival or a samskara, a Vedic ritualistic performance. After 7 months, then after birth, there would be namkarana or... So there are all these 12 different samskaras. So there's this one when the child turns over. So when Krishna turned over, there was a Mother Yashoda called all the brahmanas. They chanted Vedic hymns. There was a festival and everyone came, and she was busy attending everyone. And I think Krishna wanted her breast milk. She fed, and then Krishna fell asleep, and then she put Krishna in a cradle under a cart. So that cart was Shakatasura. He assumed the form of a cart. And then Mother Yashoda was busy in entertaining everyone else. And then Krishna woke up and he knew this is a demon, and he kicked the wheel with his very soft feet. So, and he kicked the wheel and the whole cart collapsed, and he was not injured in the least. But the cowherd boys, they saw that. His friends, they saw that. And they called the, you know, Nanda Maharaj, everyone they called, and they said, you know, the cart has collapsed, and everyone was shocked, and they picked up all the utensils, and they picked up Krishna, and Krishna's fine. And everyone was amazed how this happened. And they said, you know, Krishna kicked the cart. And everyone thought, you know, that's not possible. How can a little boy kick the cart? So this is just some, you know, maybe bad omens or bad influences are there. That happened. And even when Krishna went high up in the sky, when Trinavarta came, he created his dust cloud and he picked up Krishna. And then at that time, Krishna became lighter than the lightest, it said. When he was on the lap of Mother Yashoda, he became as heavy as the universe. So Mother Yashoda had to put him on the ground. And then he became very light, and then Trinavarta took him. Then after some time, he wanted to have Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. So he wanted to have a ride in the sky. So even the capturing of Krishna by a demon is pleasure for him. So he wanted to have a ride. So then Trinavarta took him up. He was enjoying it. And then at one point he became very heavy. As heavy as the universe. And he grabbed Trinavarta by the throat. And he won't let go. So then Trinavarta was crying, okay, you know. Because he was falling down and he wanted to get rid of Krishna. But he held him very tight, and then in the air only he pretty much choked up. And then he fell down on a stone, and that was the end of it. So nothing happened to Krishna. So then again the residents came and of Vrindavan. They picked up Krishna and they said the Supreme Lord protected him. So they could, and even though Vasudev, even though Garga Muni hinted that your child is none other than Narayan, but still they could not pick that point. So the pure residents of Vrindavan, their devotion is so exalted that they also forget that Krishna is God. So we also forget Krishna is God. So our forgetfulness is different. Our forgetfulness is influenced by Mahamaya. So it is of a different nature. But if we engage in Krishna consciousness, then Yoga Maya assists us in becoming a pure devotee. So I'll leave it there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, Prabhupada mentioned here. Any other example? You can say Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah, Dhruva Maharaj is an example. Yeah, that's another example, Dhruva Maharaj. Okay. No, you can't become a Nitya Siddha. You always remain a Sadhana Siddha. Huh? You can become a devotee in the same life. You don't have to change your body to become a pure devotee. So what's that? Iha yasya harer dasya karmana manasagira nikhilasvapi avastasu jivan mukta sauchyate. So one who engages his body, mind and words in the service of the Lord is liberated. So, you don't have to become a pure devotee in the next life. Though externally it looks the same. So, you know, like a spiritual master looks just like an ordinary person. But he's not. Because he's engaged his body, mind and words in the service of the Lord. So they are a pure devotee. And if we consider that person, that devotee an ordinary person, then one is a pashandi. Or an offender. Sadhana Siddha is one who becomes a pure devotee by engaging in the process of sadhana, sadhana bhakti. So you come to the other levels, raga and all that, but that's, you have become a pure devotee through the process of sadhana. So you could be the next one. Krishna praying. Anything else? Any other question? No, Yoga Maya helps us. Mahamaya tries to pull us down. It's a test. So in the spiritual world is only for those who are pure devotees and who agree to cooperate with Krishna. So if you want to go to that party, then you have to be like them. Like, there's so many parties happen, you just can't get crush. So you have to be of that kind to go to a certain party. So if you want to go to spiritual world, then we have to be, we have to have a certain kind of consciousness. Where we render service to Krishna without any motivation and without any interruption. So Mahamaya tests our sincerity. So, you know, by, in different ways and forms. And if we are very sincere, then we can go there. Any other question or comment? Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki.